Hello and welcome to the Inside FCA podcast. I'm Ms. Ibrahim, and today I'll be speaking to the FCA's Chief Executive, Nicky Orati. It's an important time for the organisation as it takes big steps towards its transformation agenda. I'll be finding out a bit more about the plans and Nikhil's vision for the FCA at this time of great economic change and uncertainty. Welcome, Nikhil. In the recently released business plan and in your speech on transformation, you've set out quite an ambitious roadmap for the FCA. Why do you think this is necessary at this time?
We're currently in a world which is changing incredibly fast. Technology is moving rapidly, and we've seen that during the pandemic. The growth of online consumer activity has increased very dramatically. We have major external trends too, you know, the transition to a net zero economy. And in the case of the UK, we're also changing our regulatory framework, or in effect rewriting our regulatory framework after the UK has left the European Union. These are all really big changes that require us to adjust also as a regulator and transform the way we operate, using data and technology very differently to the way we have done in the past to be able to deal with these modern challenges. Also, there are reviews that have been done on the way the FCA has operated in the past, and there are a number of lessons coming out of those reviews that we want to learn from and we want to respond to.
You've called for the FCA to be more assertive and to test its powers to the limit. What do you think this will look like in practice, and how would you like the FCA to achieve this?
Markets are moving very fast these days, and we've seen also in the consumer arena and the online arena the speed with which frauds can be perpetrated and consumers can lose money. And therefore, being able to act in a quick manner, in an agile manner, decisively is very important. And therefore, we want to use our intervention powers in an effective way to protect consumers and ensure market integrity. So what does that mean in practice? That will mean you will see us stepping in earlier and taking action earlier where we believe firms are not cooperating as effectively as we would want them to in tackling the harm that we are seeing. And we think that the majority of firms will support this because it's in the interests of the whole industry and in the markets that bad actors are dealt with as decisively as possible.
You said the perimeter the FCA operates in wouldn't necessarily stop it from intervening as it might have done in the past. Can you give any examples of how things could change in this respect and the impact it could have?
So, for example, there's a very important bill going through Parliament at the moment, the Online Safety Bill, which is seeking to legislate to protect consumers from the wide range of online harms that they may encounter. We're very keen for investment fraud, economic harm, to be included in that bill, in particular as it relates to online advertising. And we've been very clear publicly about that, so that as Parliament considers this legislation, they can consider whether they wish to amend it. And in that regard, both the Treasury Select Committee and the Work and Pension Select Committee have supported this proposal. It'll now be a matter for Government and Parliament to decide whether to pass the amendment that would enable this to happen, and we think it would play a decisive role in helping us to protect consumers from online harm, and particularly those scams that target vulnerable consumers and cause them to lose significant parts of their life savings.
You've just mentioned some partnerships there, and fraud is also something you've recently talked about as being tackled with partners. Can you give us key partnerships you think the FCA is going to have to develop further, and why?
One of the things about the range of objectives we have and the issues we're dealing with is that they're issues that are complex and will often require multiple parties to be engaged to really tackle the problem. So we work very closely with our colleagues at the Prudential Regulation Authority and the Bank of England, with many dual regulated firms. We work with the pensions regulator. We work in what's called the Digital Regulators Cooperation Forum. So with Ofcom, with the Competition and Markets Authority, with the Information Commissioner's Office, to work together in the UK to see how we can engage in the fast developing digital markets and how we can engage with the big tech companies. We work in the National Economic Crime Centre with a number of parties, including law enforcement agencies, police, the Serious Fraud Office. And of course, internationally, those partnerships are absolutely fundamental to us, both with our EU colleagues, US and many other jurisdictions around the world. We're working hard in the International Forum for Securities Regulators, IOSCO, on global sustainability standards so that we can all work together to develop common frameworks for disclosure when it comes to climate risk. That's important because the markets we're operating in are cross-border and the issue we're dealing with is a global challenge, not just a national one.
And what will this new way of functioning potentially mean for both firms and consumers? What would you like it to look like?
Well, I'd like us to be very much focused on the problem at hand and thinking about what are the tools that we have that can help us solve the issue, be it our supervision tools, a policy intervention, an enforcement intervention, clearer, more direct communications, or working collaboratively with a partner. And I think that should mean that firms and consumers should see us communicating differently, communicating more directly, intervening earlier, and being more assertive, including taking legal cases and taking legal challenge and more legal risk than we may have done historically.
Moving away from recent announcements, it's fair to say you haven't shied away from big public jobs, whether that's leading the FCA, running London Stock Exchange, or spearheading Treasury's response to the banking crisis of 2007 and 2008. What attracted you to these roles and to public service?
The FCA in particular has a very powerful public purpose. We're serving millions of consumers at a very challenging time coming out of the pandemic, and also supporting businesses across the economy as the economy recovers and seeks to create jobs and growth. And the ability to work in an organization with fantastic people like in the FCA and also with partners across the UK and across the world is immensely exciting. And I think we can be incredibly proud of the work that we do. And that's what has appealed to me coming to join the FCA at this moment of a really significant change. And that's building on previous experiences in the past in other organizations where there have been other similar challenges which enable those institutions to make a difference, and I can play a part in that.
And what did you learn from those previous positions that helped prepare you for this role, do you think?
I think what's incredibly important is for us to articulate a clear vision for the FCA, and that's important in any organization where you're leading, to make sure that we're clear about where we want to go and clear about what we need to do to get there and how we can work together in terms of our people and our partners to deliver that vision. It's also critically important to always be open-minded and think creatively about how we can do things differently. In our case now in the FCA, how we can use data and technology in a very different way to become a very different regulator for the future. And we also have an important mission to ensure we're accountable and to be transparent and accessible for those who scrutinise us, because that's an important part of our legitimacy as well.
I mentioned the previous financial crisis. Do you see parallels between that period and the decisive decade, as it's been called, with significant economic shifts sped up by the impact of the pandemic, which we're entering into now?
I think there have been some parallels in the last year in terms of the extraordinary volatility in markets and the role of the financial sector in supporting the economy to recover from those crises. But in some respects, what we've been through over the last year and what is ahead of us is even more significant than the global financial crisis in 2008-09, which was originating in the financial sector. Here, what we've seen is an economy-wide, worldwide emergency. And the range of things that we're going to be dealing with in the future, as I mentioned, climate change, technological change, the changes after Brexit, those are all very big challenges in and of themselves, and them all coming together at the same time makes for a really challenging period, but also a period where there could be huge opportunities ahead if we get the decisions right.
And you've just talked about the various challenges in the FCA obviously being a complex organisation. What are your guiding principles as an organisational leader right now?
I think what's incredibly important is to recognise the many achievements of the FCA over many years, but particularly during the pandemic, and articulate just how impactful that can be when we get our decisions right. I think that's important for our colleagues to feel proud, but also for the external world to see that the FCA can make a significant difference. And the other thing I'd say is we want to be open to feedback and to challenge and to listen and learn. And those are going to be very important guiding principles for us in the coming period. In my speech, I talked about us becoming more innovative, more assertive, more adaptive. And you'll see those themes come through in the work we do in the coming years as well.
Nikhil, you've spoken about diversity and inclusion as a challenge. What changes do you want to see, and how is the FCA leading by example?
I'd like the FCA to be a diverse, inclusive, modern regulator where colleagues from all backgrounds, all characteristics can fulfil their potential and feel able to succeed in our organisation. That's incredibly important because we're a regulator for the whole of the United Kingdom. Diverse mindsets, diverse thinking ensures better output, better performance. We avoid groupthink, and we will better serve the consumers whose interests we're here to protect. We also, through doing that, can set a strong example for the wider financial services industry. For example, the Women in Finance Charter, which is something we've signed up to along with a number of financial services firms, sets a target of 50% of senior leadership to be female by 2025. We're now on track to deliver that target, and we have targets in other areas too, including on ethnicity as well. And we also want to see how we can use our powers more effectively to incentivize the right behavior amongst firms, because we do think that diverse institutions, inclusive institutions where people feel safe to speak up, can effectively manage risk and learn from lessons of past experiences where risk has not been managed as it should have been. To that end, we've published recently a discussion paper with our colleagues at the Bank of England, setting out some ideas as to how we can use regulatory tools to support this agenda and this work.
And there are a number of other challenges for you and the FCA, such as consumer protection, fintech, sustainability, to name a few. What do you see as the most immediate one, particularly in light of the uncertainties brought about by the coronavirus pandemic?
The pandemic caused considerable strain to household finances across the country, and our research shows that there are over 4 million more vulnerable people coming out of this pandemic whose lives have been impacted by what has happened. And in this coming period, as hopefully the economy recovers, and there are some positive signs there, protecting those consumers, supporting the economy to succeed coming out of the pandemic will be our priority. And that matters in terms of the work we're doing on proposing a new consumer duty, so that firms think about consumers throughout the life cycle of the development of a product and also distribution of a product, to some of the reforms we're making to markets to enable capital to be raised more efficiently so that firms can grow and create jobs.
Finally, the last time we spoke, you'd just taken over as chief executive and said you'd spent much of your time listening to business and consumers. What is the most important thing you've learned during this time?
I would say that the experience I've had in the time I've been in post, the 9 months or so, is the sheer diversity of firms and consumers that we interact with and the pace with which change is impacting them. And as we are seeking to develop regulation that embraces those changes and those opportunities, we need to make sure that those who are perhaps not included in mainstream financial services continue to be able to access the financial services they need to go about their everyday lives.
And what would you like your legacy to be based on this knowledge and the transformation agenda we've discussed?
I'd like the FCA to continue to be a purposeful organisation, one that is transformed in terms of the way we use data and technology, that attracts and continues to attract the best professionals to join our organisation, and is seen, as I said when we launched the business plan, seen as innovative, adaptive, assertive, delivering in the interest of markets and consumers.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts and ideas with me today, Nikhil. You can find out more about the transformation agenda in the recently published business plan and speech available on the FCA website. For now, stay safe and join us again soon for the next Inside FCA podcast.